Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And Rodrigo, not a lot of CONCACAF soccer going around for sure. I mean, some of the leagues are kind of ending, whether it be MLS or Liga MX. And of course, other leagues like the Honduran League and why not also playing. But man, we still can talk about some soccer, right? But how you been, man?
Yeah, man. A lot of things ending, but I've been good. Just staying home, watching any game I can watch. I think on Sunday, even Sunday, I watched a lot of football. And, you know, obviously soccer, whatever's on. But it's been good, just chill. My wife's over here having close to her finals or finals before finals. So, you know, a lot of studying for her. So I'm just relaxing and just watching games, man. What about you?
Man, it's kind of Christmas just started and I think I'm over it this year just because it seems like we've been so busy taking the kids to see all kinds of Christmas lights and this and that and hay rides and it's not going to stop. I tell you that much because we're supposed to go to see some more lights this weekend and I think a few other ones. So that's what it is right now. And it's I like it. I'm acting a little dramatic over it, but no, it's actually fun. I like being able to take the kids, and especially right now that Remy and Addy can actually, you know, understand kind of what's happening. So it's kind of cool. But apart from that, super busy with work. The house is coming along. So I know I probably haven't talked too much about the house in this podcast, but it's finally like we got foundation going. We should be getting the framing coming up pretty quickly. So maybe sooner, the house may be, you know, ready before, I think. So, I mean, that's what we're hoping for at least. So exciting things like that. But again, jumping into soccer, I told Rodrigo, you know what? There's not a lot of soccer, you know, obviously going on apart from a few friendlies. And I think this episode, we're going to focus mostly on the friendlies that the eight teams they're still trying to qualify for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar in CONCACAF are having. Not all of them have not all of them have a friendly, as we will see. But I do want to start, though, real quick. If you guys follow our account on Instagram, especially Twitter as well, I was very lucky being part of the Dynamo Theory network. To go into what is now PNC Stadium in Houston, home of the Dynamo. And on Saturday night, kind of like last minute, I was able to get my media pass and I went out and checked out the La Selecta play Ecuador. So we had El Salvador playing Ecuador and it was actually kind of cool. It was definitely not a lot of people like they tend to bring. I would say maybe 70%. So it was definitely not even close, but the atmosphere was nice. I mean, the people were, you know, jumping, you know, rooting for the Selecta. I would say it was definitely more El Salvadorian fans, but I was actually surprised that I saw a lot of Ecuadorian fans, which is kind of cool. You know, I mean, we know that living in Houston is very diverse and, you know, it's great to see it whenever all kinds of nations come out. But yeah, Rodrigo, it was cool. I'm hoping that you get to be a part of it eventually as well. Kind of join me and the crazy guys from Dynamo Theory out to all those little events. The game ended at 1-1. The goal from Osvaldo was pretty good. It was a free kick and they actually tied the game. But Ecuador, man, had some pretty good players. And I'm sure there's local scouts, you know, checking out a lot of the players. But yeah, dude, of course. And I think that game you couldn't really watch anywhere. But do you want to comment anything on that? I know that you weren't really a part of it. Probably don't know much of it, but go for it if you do.
I think you could have watched it somewhere. I'm trying to remember where I saw a feed. I don't know. Maybe I was scrolling to TikTok And I saw, you know, one of those live feeds and somebody was playing it. Cause I remember I catched a few of the game. I was just, you know, browsing through. And then I just saw the highlights of that game. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, Houston trying to pull more of that fan base, but compared to what the Honduras, you know, brought to the stadium, I feel like we do have more Honduran fans than a Salvadorian down there. But yeah, sorry, I got a spooky dog over here.
I love it. I don't know what happened. Yeah,
I was literally by myself and it just came in and this guy won't stop.
They throw him out there for sure. But yeah, so obviously El Salvador played, like I said, on Saturday, and they're actually playing again, I believe, on Saturday. This time they'll be playing in L.A. Against Chile. And another CONCACAF nation facing Chile is actually Mexico. And don't quote me on this because I haven't really looked, but I believe they play tomorrow. And I can check for you guys real quick.
Tomorrow in Austin.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So they're pretty close by to me, being in Houston and Rodrigo in Dallas. So it's it'd be a Texas match. It should have a lot of fans, even though it's technically like a C team, I guess, to an extent. But there's a lot of hurrah and enthusiasm on one of the young guys that they brought. He's a, believe right now, he's like an 18-year-old that plays in Arsenal. I think his name is Marcelo Flores. So, you know, kind of like how Carlos Vela had that mystique to him. I think a lot of people are interested to see what he brings to the table, especially with the way qualifiers have been lately. Yeah, I mean, there's not much there. Apart, I guess maybe we might as well go into a segue of the rebrand that Mexico saw, right? I mean, they changed their whole logo to a more modern look. And, you know, I saw it at first glance and I didn't hate it by any means. I think it's time. I think especially as a somebody from Houston, you know, seeing like the Rockets get a rebrand or Astros get a rebrand. And as of late, or, you know, there's more reason the Dynamo getting a rebrand. I think I'm kind of used to seeing a rebrand and seeing this new logo. I think it looks pretty cool. I think one of the guys that I think it was Heido, I think that told me, he's like, man, it reminds me of the Minnesota United logo. And I was like, I mean, I see it because it's a wing and stuff like that. But I don't know, Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on that logo?
Yeah, I had actually seen it like, I want to say maybe a month or two ago. Somebody, I guess, found out that they submitted like a patent, trademark, whatever. And they submitted three logos. One of them being more like a black logo type. But honestly, I don't think it looks bad. I mean, obviously the current logo we have, it's from what, 1995, I think the last time they did an update or something like that. This is more like, yeah, it's more modern, I feel like. I think everybody's going with the minimalism.
Yeah.
I think everybody's just trying to get away from all bulky kind of logos.
Well, I mean, even when the U.S. Did their rebrand a couple of years back, it was honestly, it's a nice logo, you know, what the U.S. has is, you know, and it kind of goes, like you said, the simplistic style, because a few days before, if not maybe a little longer since that they announced Mexico's doing a rebrand, Costa Rica did a rebrand as well. And I really like that logo, the new Costa Rica as well. It's just nice. It's clean. It has the letters. Kind of reminds you a little bit of what the U.S. Logo looks like now. So I don't know. This logos to me, I really enjoy them. And I would not be surprised to, you know, start seeing other guys do a little bit of rebrand themselves. I mean, a team like Honduras, their logo is pretty simple. So I don't know exactly what they could do. But there's some, or even the Canada one. Canada is pretty nice. But there is some logos being like El Salvador. I think El Salvador logo is a little old school as well. They may need a rebrand eventually. Just because, you know, it's, you know, has that old soccer ball still in it. And it's just, you know, you kind of want to modernize it. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, as much as you want to preserve history, you do have to understand that, you know, you have to tweak it for marketing purposes.
Right. And I know there's going to be a lot of backlash and people complain about it, but I think it's like anything else, it eventually just grows on you, and then it just seems, you know, like the normal thing. Plus, I'm excited to see if they're going to come up with a new jersey, if they're trying to, you know, go back to the green color or stick with a black or alternate.
And you're right. That's exactly my thought of was too. Whenever I saw the logo, I was like, again, I have nothing against it. I like it, but I'm like, I bet their jersey's going to have to be pretty crazy. Like, cause I was not a big fan of this pink one that they're wearing. I feel like if it would have been, you know, maybe like a green and black or green and red, or sorry, red and green and white, it would have looked much better, you know. But lately, for whatever reason, they want to reinvent the wheel and move away from the green home jersey, which I think is really odd, you know, since they've had like the black and now the pink and black. But hopefully they do go with green and they don't get a ton of backlash just because. And who knows if they're going to, I don't know if their contract with Adidas is ending anytime soon. But, you know, who knows if they also change kit altogether. But again, the other team that does have a friendly is the U.S. They'll be playing in a couple weeks, I think. I think 10 days from now, actually. And they will be facing Bosnia and Herzegovina, and that would be playing in Carson. I'm assuming. Let me see. I'm not assuming. I'm right in front of it. Yeah. It'll be played in LA Galaxy Stadium and Dignity Health Sports Park. We probably will see a ton of young guys from MLS maybe get some action. And, you know, that makes sense. I mean, they're good on the table, but you have to give some of your internationals a break for sure. Rodrigo, anything you want to add on?
Since we were just talking about young players and all that, I just wanted to hit on that Marcelo Flores. So he played a tournament with Mexico with the U19, U20. Obviously, you know, he showed a lot of potential, a lot of talent, but he's actually Canadian. So I think this is Mexico's way of trying to lock him in, because when you play with the U teams, you obviously still have the choice to maybe go to a different country if you choose to. But I don't know, he shows a lot of potential. And then the other big one that I guess I'm kind of excited to see is Santiago Jimenez, Chaco's son. So he got called up as well. And then obviously there's a few, well, mostly, you know, Liga MX players that are got called up to this. But I don't know, out of the younger guys, I feel like, you know, I've seen some training videos with the Mexico national team, right, you know, recently. And both of them seem to be playing pretty well together. Obviously, Marcelo Flores is going to be the hype guy that everybody's going to trying to watch out for. Obviously, not for this World Cup, but hopefully, you know, when the U.S., Mexico, Canada host, hopefully he can be part of that team and we can see more of him. And but, yeah, other than that, like you mentioned, I think U.S. is going to come up with similar strategy as Mexico, just MLS, you know, homegrown kind of players.
Right.
For them.
Playing some local guys for sure and just getting them a little bit of experience. And at this rate, I think for the teams that are doing well, you know, even with Mexico being in the place that they are on the table and, you know, maybe Panama and stuff like that, I think a lot of them need to give like there are maybe 15 spots on the squad, you know, depending if they make it to the World Cup or not, are probably set. And the remaining, they're all kind of, you know, you're trying to look for that edge, right? Sometimes you need a dark horse player that can come in kind of like in the past. How Guardado was one of those, right? He was like the youngest player in the squad whenever he made his FIFA World Cup debut. I think it was in 2006 in Germany. I think that's when they took him. But anyways, I know I've mispronounced it. It sounds terrible for sure. But and Rodrigo's giggling in the background. But what I did want to add, debut. I don't know why I put debut. But Panama. Panama is going to be another one playing a friendly. I think it says the 13th of December. They'll be playing in San Jose against Cameroon. Same thing. I think they probably come with a young squad just to give some guys some minutes and experience. And lastly, Honduras, which, you know, we see it as like, man, poor Honduras hasn't won a game since July, which is pretty crazy. But I'm sure they're still thinking about a turnaround. They pretty much have to win almost every, if not every single game for the qualifiers to have an opportunity to make it or to grab even a half ticket. But they'll be playing against Columbia and Fort Lauderdale and the Inter Miami's stadium. So again, even though it's kind of quiet and it's the end of the year, some of those guys are taking advantage of, you know, this break. And with some leagues kind of pausing, especially their local leagues, I mean, they can really call whoever they want on their local league. So they're not going to get much challenge. And some guys do have, you know, deserve a break for sure. So, you know, you'll see a ton of young guys do their thing. But Rodrigo, anything else you want to add?
I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add?
There's not much I want to add. I think
is this the time to plug in your other network you've been working on and maybe mention a Colombian?
Oh, yes, let's do that. So since for sure, man. Since we're talking about Colombian,
two Colombians, I guess.
Yeah, so I think we became an insider out of nowhere, but what Rodrigo was referring to with the Dynamo Theory, we actually started Christian from 442 and myself started a new podcast, strictly Dynamo Theory, the podcast, basically. And so everything and anything Dynamo, it's what we talk about. And we're super excited for it because, again, using the network that we have, we're able to, obviously come up with good content. We actually had, we asked for a player, which, talking about the Colombian, if you look at Darwin Quintero's Instagram right now, the guy that we asked for was in there, which is Marcelo Palomino. So we're hoping to maybe get a 15-minute interview with him sometime this week. Then maybe they'll make it to the next episode. But with Darwin Quintero, I mean, the guy is such a great player. I think that it'd be great to keep him here in Houston. So I'm all for it, especially if you can get them on a cheaper deal. But what was cool in the insider aspect is Christian was on Instagram and was like, did you see what Mauro Manotas posted? And we're like, what are you talking about? And so once I looked, there was basically like kind of read between the lines and kind of made it sound that he could make a comeback, which to me would make sense because he was obviously very successful here in Houston. And playing in Liga MX with Tijuana, he started at a little, I would say good because he scored a few goals. But after that, it was kind of a really tough season. I believe Tijuana, Rodrigo, you watch it more than me nowadays, the Liga MX, but I think Tijuana ended in last place during the Apertura, I guess. And so to me, it makes sense if that is an option to bring him in, especially with some cap money that Dynamo is opening. So again, if you want more information, if you're a Houston Dynamo fan, I would definitely highly suggest that you check out our new podcast as we track who, the Dynamo may get as far as players as well as coaching, because we still don't have a coach. And it's pretty exciting. But did I hit pretty much everything you thought I was going to hit, Rodrigo?
Yeah, I was just kind of setting you up for that. But yeah, you're right. Tijuana did end up in last place, and Manotas was actually their top scorer with only 4 goals because they had a pretty, interesting bad season. But yeah, that might be an out for him.
Yeah, very surprising because Tijuana has always been, mid-table and then push up every now and then. But I remember he started out scoring quite a few goals when he got there, and then, it definitely slowed down a lot because,
I mean, he's only 26, so there's still a lot of, potential for him. So.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, the reason he left was really seeking an opportunity. And I think the way he left, with COVID and everything, it was just not a good season for him to leave. Just because at the time, I believe his wife was pregnant with their first kid. And, my wife was pregnant during the pandemic as well. So I understand kind of like that, hesitation. Especially in his case of having to travel, in my case, I didn't have to travel anymore once everything went down. But as a player, you still have like a ton of interaction with people and you just don't know. And I think you could tell that he was going through a slump that really affected him playing wise because he wasn't the same Manotas for the little that he was with the Dynamo before he left in 2020. But I think it was time because his contract was, he had a new contract too, but it was not the best opportunity. But anyways, for me rambling, again, I think it's great if we see him back. And he's really close to breaking, you know, Brian Ching scoring records. So, hey, it doesn't hurt. You know, you already know the city. You already know you're good playing in the city, playing for Houston. It would be great to see him back.
And you have an owner that's going to work with you, hopefully.
Yeah, of course. And so, you know, again, there's a lot of being having a new general manager with Pat Onstad. I think he knows where he wants to spend his money. And there's about, there should be 3 DP positions open. I think in Manotas, I don't know. They may have to, you know, spend it as a DP. Hopefully not. Hopefully he's willing to work it.
I don't think it counts.
You don't think it counts?
I think depending on how many years you've been in the MLS, I don't think it counts as one.
Yeah, and it could be.
And I want to say he meets the requirements. Let's see how.
No, I think you're right, because I think in his case, he when they got
played
him,
he played 5 years. So, yeah, I think he should be fine.
Yeah.
And he played with Rio Grande, so.
Yeah, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know too much about his contract right now after he left. Like, I don't know. And Mexico, we know, like, that's another whole conversation we can have here at Crossing Soccer Borders of, like, Liga MX, the way the contracts are set up, that pretty much the players are home for life, it seems like, and they're just borrowed in between the league. And so I'm not necessarily sure on the clarity of his contract. But it'd be a huge possibility to get him, and it'd be pretty amazing.
And with that, keep crossing soccer borders.